Stephanie. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to your sight. God, I pray that you speak through your servant. These words that we know so well, God, allow us not to see it in new light, but to truly be embraced by the gospel message that you love us. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. My sermon title is KLUC 316. Now, when Donna Lee emailed me on Friday afternoon, she said, "Moses, I think there's something wrong in the bulletin." And I thought, oh gosh. She's thinking I've committed the cardinal sin of renaming John 3:16. So I emailed back and I said, no, you know, Club 3:16, that's the intended one. And she said, no, actually, you made a bigger boo-boo. This week, I was really wrestling with this lectionary text. And it was the first time ever that I've been here at Kingsway Lambton that I felt that like breaking away from the lectionary text. The lectionary is a cycle of 3-year reading cycle of the Bible that a lot of the churches around the world follow. And so a lot of the other preachers probably within our neighborhood and the wider church are probably wrestled this week just as I had. Because it's such a well-known text. It's such a text that has great meaning. It's a text that everybody knows so well. Like you've heard it a gazillion times. What can I say that gives meaning? And here's Allison on Tuesday saying, I prepare the bulletin, you just have to send me your sermon title. Wednesday, another email, you have to send me your sermon title. So I was thinking, okay, Cluck 316, I'll say it and then I'll worry about it later. So that's why it's Cluck 316. But after Thursday, after the bulletins have been printed, I was thinking, I wonder what Cluck 3:16, what Kingsway Lambton United Church 3:16, what would be the gospel in Kingsway Lambton United Church? What would be the good news that would make everyone say hallelujah at Kingsway Lambton United Church? And I got it. You know what that is? It's keeping the service within an hour. That is good news. That would be great news. But I'm looking at the watch and I'm already afraid to say I think we might have to break that good news again this Sunday. I fear you and I will be breaking this good news almost every Sunday. Nicodemus also had a fear. The Nicodemus that we see in this Bible text had a fear. If we look closely, Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. He is not a Pharisee, but he is a Pharisee. He is a member of the Sanhedrin. He is a well-respected person in his community. A famous theologian by the name of Frederick Buechner says, Nicodemus was a religious VIP, with a list of credentials as long as your arm. He had advanced theological degrees. He had honorary doctorates. He had half a column in the Jerusalem edition of Who's Who. If you were a Jew and you were living in Jerusalem, you would know who Nicodemus was if he walked by on the other side of the street. What would he fear? What fear would this great, very important person have? We actually don't know. A lot of biblical commentators have argued to say, why would Nicodemus fear? Well, actually, the Bible doesn't actually say Nicodemus feared. What we do know is that Nicodemus went at night. Nicodemus went to see Jesus when it was dark, when
the lights were off.
Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Once again, the Bible doesn't tell us. But if he was fearing something in going to Jesus in the middle of the night, the words that actually come out of Jesus' mouth gives him greater fear, because Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You have to die." Jesus says you have to be born again. What do you have to do to be born again? You have to die. If I have life here, and if I want to have life here, then my life here has to finish before my life here can begin. He has to say goodbye to his life. Goodbye to his life as a VIP in Jerusalem. Goodbye to his life as a Pharisee, as a member of the Sanhedrin, as a person of respect, as a person who could write the laws. Now, I don't know if we may have similar fears, because I'm not a very important person in Toronto, and I'm not part of the who's who of Toronto. But I wonder if we have a fear too. When I was in university, freshman year in university, and I went to university, and all these people are coming, "Oh, join this club, join the choir club. Oh, you look pretty big, why don't you join the wrestling club?" I don't know. There's all sorts of clubs, all sorts of groups that want and trying to gain your interest in university. But in Korea, there is a hawk of students who are trying to gain the interest of all these freshmen coming through. And these are Christian groups, like the Navigators, like the Christian Campus Crusade, like InterVarsity. And I remember distinctly, I'm here, a 17-year-old young freshman who knows nothing, and this person comes to me and says, "Hi, what's your name?" I was like, "Moses." And, you know, "What's your major?" "International relations." "Oh, that's so great." And then the next thing is like, "Are you born again? Are you born again?
Yeah.
Are you born again, Christian? When were you born again? When were you born again? Give me the date. Give me the time. When was it? What was your experience?" In fact, it doesn't end there. If you apply to any of the seminaries, it says, "Please describe the moment that you met Christ." And I'm here thinking, I don't know. When was I born again? I was always born this way. There's an inept fear in all of us. Because when we ask someone, "When were you born again?" When were you born again, Christian? When evangelicals ask, "When are you born again, Christian?" What they're trying to say is, I was never born again. So that, aha, you have to die and you have to be born again. The understanding of born again is that we have to let go of our old ways, let go of everything that holds us back, let go of all the earthly things that we have. And quite frankly, I'm here to tell you, I love all the earthly things that surround us. I'm wearing these black shoes that look pretty new. I bought this because Hugh, on opening day, opening door Sunday, he always wears these black athletic shoes that kind of pass as formal shoes but are also athletic. So I didn't have one, so I decided to grab one. And it's actually really nice. I love my pink sweater. It's actually just been freshly dry cleaned at the dry cleaner in Humbertown. I love earthly things. I was here until 2:30 this morning working on this sermon, and I got into my car, I turned the engine on, and I put on the seat warmer. I love it. I love the luxuries that this world has to give. To let go of all these things, to die of all these things, to be born again as a Christian. There is a fear. The understanding that I have to die to be born again, this creates a great fear. So what is the good news in John chapter 3. I mean, we all know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life, that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus Christ. But what about all the other things in John chapter 3? What about all the context that puts it into that? Is there any saving grace in all of that? The good news that I find in John chapter 3 is, of course, John chapter 3:16, but John chapter 3, verse 17, when it says that God did not send God's Son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn the world. Let me say that again. God did not send his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to condemn the world. Because, brothers and sisters, this is the good news. The world is already condemned. I know, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? The good news is that the world is already condemned. Look around you. The world is a troublesome world. We have people who are sick. We have people who are dying. Just this week, in my homeland of Korea, the Constitutional Court finally said, yep, President Park, impeachment is constitutional. And people were cheering, and they're like, yes, we want her gone. But at the same time, on the other side, we have people waving the Korean flag saying, this is unconstitutional, and they're trying to revolt, and they're trying to charge us to the constitutional courts. Three people died because of the demonstration. We live in a world that seems so broken. How is that good news? Because it's really, really, really simple. You see, the whole idea of condemning something is that that person is the judge. And it's not a judge there to say, you are punished, you are punished, you are not punished, you are not punished. But the judge is there to say either, yes, that's something wrong. No, that's not something wrong. Now, let me say, if a judge has to come to you, and he has to make a decision whether you're condemned or not condemned, think about this. If a judge has to come to you and has to decide whether you're condemned or not condemned, if the judge has to make a choice, then that's actually a pretty scary thought. It's 50-50. But if you're condemned already, why would the judge go to you and say, you're condemned? You are already condemned. There is no news in all of that. There is no choice that this judge has to make. The good news is that Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. In fact, we can even change this as Jesus came to save, period. The basis of us being saved, the basis of us being loved by Jesus is that we are not loved. We did not love. That we were condemned. Nicodemus was living in a condemned world. Jerusalem was under Roman control. A world where people were being cast aside because of their looks, their skin color, their beliefs. And here, Jesus is saying, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because Jesus is not here to condemn the world, but to save the world. If we can go to the next slide, there's a little video that we'd like to watch together. This is where we have technological difficulties. There should be a song that comes out. I think I'm going to use it some other time. But I'd like us to watch This is the world that we live in. This is the condemned world that we live in. What is needed in this condemned world? Does anyone in the choir know this song? People killing, people dying, children hurting. Ben, do you want to sing for us?
No.
Whose song is this?
Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas, there you go.
Yeah.
So imagine, for those of you, I'm bouncing with... So basically it tells about how this is the world that we live in, and what we need is love, 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 love. Father, please send love to save the world. I think the video actually kind of stopped. Technological difficulties always come. In the world that we live in today, we need love. Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above, because people got me questioning, where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Brothers and sisters, where is the love? Where is the love? We see in these videos, that these pictures that continue to see, we see a world that needs love. In a world that is still condemned, in a world where there is hatred, in a world where there is judgment, in a world that is already lost, in a world that is crying, where is the love in all of this? We have a love to share. We have gospel to share. We have good news to share. That God loved this world so much, and God continues to love the world so much, that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. As much as I want to say that God so loved KLUC, or as much as I want to say God loved Moses and Gloria and Justin and Christine, as much as I want to say God loves Canada, God loves Donald Trump, God's love is eternally open to all. For the man standing in front of the row of tanks, for the homeless person sitting on the top of a subway crate in the, at the intersection of Queen and Yonge, those who have experienced great trauma, John 3:16 was a message of God's love that was shared by the community of the Apostle John. Of John's community. I wonder what that message would be, how that message would be read for the community here at Kingsway Lambton United Church. John 3:16 is very significant, not because it's simply John 3:16. When John 3:16 was first written, it was written for that community that was following John. Now it's become this universal message of love. We have just started our journey into Lent. We're in week 2 of Lent. We are walking slowly, slowly, slowly towards Jerusalem with Jesus. We are walking slowly, slowly, slowly to that great, great celebration of what this great message of love is. As we take time to meditate each day, I wonder if we can start writing our Kingsway Lambton United Church 3:16. What is God's message of love for us here in this community? Is it simply to have a lot of love here in this sanctuary like we did this morning? Is it simply to go out into our Kingsway Lambton area? I don't know. I really don't know. But I know God speaks through people, and I know God will speak to you. So go and continue writing. Continue meditating. Continue listening to what God speaks to you. Because know that from a condemned state, God has already saved you. So continue to go out knowing that you are loved and to share that love to the community. And if you ever come up with a really, really clever KLUC 3:16, you can email me. I'd love to share with the community. Let us pray. God, we live in a world that is condemned. We try to love. In our efforts to show love, many times those efforts become changed into evil. But we know that you came into this world to save us from that condemnation. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Allow us to continue in that love that Jesus Christ has showed us. As we go through these days in Lent, continue to empower us to love, for you first loved us. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen.